good to be back with you, though. It's always a vacation. You anticipate it. You go. You have a great time. But then by the end of vacation, when you get back, you're kind of worn out, right? Then you got to get caught up on everything. And while I was away, as I predicted to my producer, Dave DiNatale, big things always happen when I go on vacation. There's always a major breaking story when I go on vacation involving a Cleveland sports team or a Cleveland sports figure. And this time, while I was away, Kyrie Irving broke his hand in a summer league practice, his right hand, his shooting hand. He had surgery on it today. They said the surgery went well. Have they ever not said the surgery went well? I was just thinking about that when I was reading the Cavaliers press release today. I was like, okay, yeah, here's the press release. I'm looking over this thing, and, you know, it's like the Cavaliers have issued this statement. Cavaliers guard Kyrie Irving underwent successful surgery today at the Cleveland Clinic to address a fractured bone in his right hand, and he should be ready for training camp. And I'm thinking, have they ever released a press statement saying the surgery was all botched up? They screwed it up royally, and we have no idea when he'll be back. Have they ever done that? I don't think so. But anyway, he did have surgery, and according to the Cavaliers and the doctors who performed the surgery, it went well. He should be ready for the regular season, but I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. No reason for Kyrie Irving, the rookie of the year in the NBA last year, to be playing in the summer league. There was no reason for it whatsoever. You want him to go up against the United States Olympic team to gain experience? Great. He did. He was outstanding. Rave reviews, playing in games against LeBron James and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and the rest of Team USA. Great. Fabulous. But he goes from playing in that as the rookie of the year to summer league basketball? Granted, he didn't get hurt in a game. He got hurt in practice, and really it was his fault. It was stupid. He banged his hand on a padded wall thinking it was very padded. It wasn't, and he broke a bone, fractured a bone in his right hand, needed the surgery today. That's pretty dumb. That's pretty stupid. And you could say, Roadman, come on, let's be fair here. It wasn't the Cavs' fault. He didn't get hurt in a game. No, but if he's not at the summer league, he's not practicing. He doesn't make the mistake he made in practice, which angers him, which forces him to punch a mat and break his hand. I just didn't see the benefit, the value of Kyrie Irving, rookie of the year, best player on your team, franchise player on your team, playing in the summer league. I said it 2-3 weeks ago before they even began the summer league, and my concern then was he would get hurt somehow, some way. That's exactly what happened. Now, the good news is that it was summer league and he has time to recover, but a lot of people wondering now, is he a China doll? His toe at Duke, concussions last year, right? His shoulder last year, now his hand. So for me, the less games he has to play, the less chance of injury, the better for Kyrie Irving. So I was on vacation, and all of a sudden, my phone was blowing up. Text messages, Twitter, emails, ringing off the hook. Hey, Roadman, Kyrie broke his hand. You know anything about it? So there I was on vacation, having to deal with Kyrie Irving breaking his hand, smacking a padded wall that wasn't so padded. It just didn't make sense to me then, and my point was proven. And hopefully the Cavaliers will learn from this. And hopefully Kyrie will learn from this that it's okay to make a turnover or a mistake in practice. We talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? That's why I didn't want to practice, man. He broke his hand at practice, man. Not in a game. Not the game. In practice. So, Kyrie, it's practice. It's okay. Make a mistake. Learn from it. Move on. Don't bang your hand against the wall. Cavaliers, now, without Kyrie Irving for 6 to 8 weeks. Can't help. Can't get better. Can't work on his shooting because of practice for summer league. I don't know. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. And it just proves my point. The other thing I was concerned with as I got home from vacation last night, was able to watch the Cavaliers on NBA TV summer league. Got to watch Dion Waiters, 4th overall pick in the draft. Shooting guard, Dion Waiters. And while, again, I was in Florida, was receiving updates on how Deion Waiters looked in the first two Summer League games and did not play well, according to what most people saw and tweeted and texted at me. Now, granted, it's Summer League. He's a rookie, so we shouldn't overreact to it. But my concern, again, before they drafted Deion Waiters was that he was not a good outside shooter. And you hear the promo running here on KNR all the time on draft night. If I draft a shooting guard, I want him to be able to shoot the basketball from distance. That, to me, is what a shooting guard is all about. Shoot from distance. Hit the open jump shot. Knock it down from three-point range. And there were guys available that, to me, were better choices at the shooting guard position in Jeremy Lamb, in Terrence Ross. You heard me say I would have gave up my entire draft for Bradley Beal or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Now, Gilchrist isn't a shooting guard. He's a small forward, but I loved him that much that I would have taken him over anybody else besides Bradley Beal and Anthony Davis, okay? So my concern was, all right, great. He attacks the rim. He finishes strong. The comparisons to Dwayne Wade, to me, were insane and inaccurate. But that's who he's compared to, Dwayne Wade. And there was no doubt about his ability to, off the bounce, get to the rim and finish. But again, a shooting guard is supposed to be able to shoot. And he was not a good outside shooter in college. And what I saw last night, and I guess what was happening in the first two games, shot's not good. It's got a little hitch in it, brings it back. It's fading away a lot. Outside shot, not good for Deion Waiters. And then you look around the league, Summer League, and you see what Jeremy Lamb's doing from distance, what Deron Lamb from Kentucky's doing from distance, right? What Bradley Beal's doing, averaging points-wise. 5 of 15 last night for Deion Waiters. But most of the five that he made were point-blank range. Layups, in close, jump shots, not good. And he's a little pudgy. We were talking about it off the air before the show. Kind of has a little John Bagley look to him. You remember Bags, right? Little chunky, pudgy, chubby, whatever you want to call him. John Bagley, former point guard, Boston College, Cavaliers. Or if you don't want to go John Bagley, do you dare say Dewan Wagner? I hope not. I'm willing to give him time. It's early. Let's not overreact. It's three Summer League games. But what I saw in college in person at Syracuse when I was covering the NCAA tournament, I saw again last night in the Summer League game. And that is a very suspect outside shot with Deion Waiters. And this is on Chris Grant or Byron Scott or whoever decided on this pick. To me, it was a reach last year to take Tristan Thompson at 4. It was a bigger reach this year to take Deion Waiters at 4. And by the way, last year, I wanted Jonas Valanciunas. There are reports that he either A, signed or will sign tomorrow, if he hasn't already, with Toronto and play in the NBA this year. That's the guy I wanted last year. And this year, like I said, I would have taken Terrence Ross. I would have taken Harrison Barnes. I would have taken Jeremy Lamb over Deion Waiters at 4. We'll see how this plays out. Cavaliers are off tonight in the Summer League. They will play tomorrow night against Minnesota, 8 p.m. You'll be able to watch that game if you have NBA TV tomorrow night. I will tape it and watch it and see if it gets any better with the outside shot. And here's the thing that bothers me. And again, you don't want to overreact because it's Summer League, but he's not doing it against major NBA players. He's doing it against fellow rookies, street free agents, D-leaguers, and is still struggling against them. So we'll see. Hopefully it gets better. On the flip side, Tyler Zeller has looked good in all three games. Not surprising. He's 22 years old. He's a four-year letterman at North Carolina. So he is more mature. He is more ready to play in the NBA now. And he's holding his own and then some in the Summer League so far. So we'll talk some Cavs. My concern with the Cavaliers goes beyond just the rookies and how they're going to do, because this is a rebuilding process. There are rumors again surfacing that the Cavaliers are involved in a menage a trade. The rumors out there have the Cavaliers, the Lakers, and the Magic involved in a possible three-team deal in which the Cavaliers might get Andrew Bynum, the Lakers might get Dwight Howard, and the Magic would get Anderson Varejão and draft picks. Now, this has been talked about before. I was in Orlando, listening to Orlando radio when I was driving from beach to beach on my vacation, and hearing them talk about Dwight Howard. And it sounds like right now, I don't want to say they are in panic mode down in Orlando, but their new general manager, Rob Hennigan, I think is feeling the pressure now of what do I do to get the most for Dwight Howard? Because Dwight elected to come back, picking up his player option, but now he wants out again. And Hennigan is thinking, all right, what do I do? Do I trade him now? And can I get equal value for him now? Or do I hold on to him and wait till the trading deadline and make a deal for him? When am I going to get more value? And I think a lot of these stories, a lot of these rumors, a lot of what's being said, talked about on ESPN and ESPN.com, maybe Orlando Magic driven. And what I mean by that is they're trying to drum up some interest, play one team against the other, and throw some things out there because they know the Rockets are interested. Well, if we mention the Lakers and we mention the Cavaliers, maybe the Rockets will bite and offer up more. Now, if we mention the Rockets and hey, their latest offer allegedly is this, maybe that'll force the Lakers' hand. And they'll want and pay more. And if we get that third team involved in the menage a trade, then we're good to go. So I think a lot of this may be coming out of Orlando trying to up the ante, get more value in return for Dwight Howard. And I've got my thoughts. I'll share them with you here coming up in a little bit as to whether or not, if indeed there is legitimacy to this trade rumor, would I make it if I were the Cavaliers, if I were getting Andrew Bynum in return? And obviously, whenever you're talking about Andy, Bynum, Dwight Howard, three bigs, we'll have Coach Luke weigh in on that as well a little bit later on in the show, because nobody loves bigs more than John Lucas, Coach Luke. All right? What else do we have for you today? Let's see here. The Indians right now, it's 4-3 Tampa in the sixth inning. Bat Masterson, not a good start. The Indians were down 4-0, but they're back to within one. We'll keep you posted. Miller Lite 10th inning coming up here in a little bit after the game is over. Also, I was hoping that while I was away, that the big news that would happen would be a positive move made by the Indians to get a right-handed bat. Not Kyrie Irving breaking his hand, punching a wall. Not the Browns using a second-round pick on a wide receiver, Mr. Gordon, right? And bringing him here from Baylor and giving up next year's second-round pick. Although, I will say this. When I was down in Siesta Key, I was in the Gulf, just catching some rays, soaking up the nice cool water or lukewarm water. There was a couple there that went to Baylor, and I was talking to him about Gordon. I said, what do you think? Browns just, you know, gave up a second-round pick next year. We like him better than Wright. We do. We thought he was the best receiver on the team. So I'm thinking, all right, that's interesting. I said, well, how many games have you been to? Oh, we've been to all the home games the last 2 years. So I was like, really? So you like him better than Wright? Or the not the Cavaliers. The Browns were thinking of trying to draft Wright in the first round, and he wasn't there. They're like, oh, yeah, we like him much better. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This couple here has probably seen Gordon play in more games in person than Mel Kiper did. So maybe they're a better, resource to get a gauge on this. And sure enough, they said Josh Gordon, yep, like him better. The Browns made the right move. We'll see if indeed Tom Heckert got a steal picking up Josh Gordon in the second round in the supplemental draft. So if you want to talk Browns, we can do that. But again, that wasn't the move I was hoping for as far as the big move, positive move, while I was away. I was hoping that the Cavaliers would make a trade, sign a free agent, or that the Indians would go out and get a right-handed bat for this anemic offense that they have. This offense that is, what, ninth out of 14 teams as far as batting average in the American League? 9 out of 14. That's not good. I know they are who we thought they were, a 500 team pretty much, two games over 500 as this game's going on right now. But still, what have they needed going back to last year at this time when I was going on vacation and begging Reg Eye and Chris Antonetti and Mark Shapiro? Get me a right-handed bat, please. Find me somebody with some power, some pop from the right-handed side and put him at first base, third base, left field, where at one of the corner positions. Give me some power from the right-hand batter's box. Give me a guy who can jack it out of the park. Give me a guy that with one swing of the bat can give you the lead. And they have failed to do so. We're stuck with Shelly Duncan. We're stuck with, well, LaPorta's still down in the minor leagues. That's not happening. Richie Cunningham, George Lopez, and all the other bums they invited to spring training that are still on this roster. And Johnny Damon, the rusty gate, who's what, 38 years old, which is 88 in caveman years. It's just not working. And the Indians continue to struggle to score runs. The Indians continue to struggle to challenge seriously within the division. Last year, July 20th, was the last day they were in first place. They had a 7-game lead at one point. They lost the division by 15. They're already in third place now. The Tigers have improved. They're charging hard. The White Sox still atop the division. The Indians still struggling. And they have not added a right-handed bat. And there's how many days left? 12, 13 days, almost 2 weeks left till the trading deadline. So I was hoping for that right-handed bat. It hasn't happened. I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be shocked. I really shouldn't. It angers me, but I guess, again, they are who we thought they were, and it is what it is. And throw any other cliche you want to throw in there about the front office and the Indians and the Dolans and all that. One last thing I'll throw out to you before we go to break. I was trying to relax, get away from sports while on vacation, and I was challenged by a buddy of mine, his wife, to read something that was non-sports related while I was on vacation. To read something either on the plane or on the beach while I was on vacation. So I took her up on the challenge, and she gave me 50 Shades of Grey, the book that is just driving women absolutely crazy. They're going nuts over the book 50 Shades of Grey. I completed the assignment. Unlike Michael Regeye, my partner, normally for Cleveland Sports Night, who has yet to watch Storage Wars, which was his homework assignment, I completed my assignment. I finished all 520 pages of 50 Shades of Grey. And I will share with you my thoughts on the book that is a New York Times bestseller, and it was the first of the trilogy, and it's driving women absolutely crazy. I'll give you my thoughts on what I think about it and whether or not I will read the next two books that follow up 50 Shades of Grey. 216-578-0850 is your phone number. You can text us at 50352. You can hit me up on Twitter at RoadmanWKNR. And if that's not enough, I had lunch with Dickie V. Dickie Vitale. It was awesome, baby. We went and the broken egg with the Roadman. I did. Dickie V took me out to lunch along with my son Cameron and his buddy Nick. I'll share my Dickie V lunch story with you as well as we get it rocking and rolling in Cleveland, Ohio. It's Cleveland Sports Night. Glad to be back with you following vacation. It's the Roadman and you on KNR.